come before you with thanksgiving. Thank you for giving us time to gather together in your name and to study your word. And I pray, O Lord, that you help your servant to explain your word clearly to your children and to your friends. And I pray that as we hear your word, and I pray that you help us to understand. And more importantly, help us to put it into practice so that we can experience your blessing and see that you are the true and loving God in our lives. And I pray that you set this time apart and so that we can get to know you better. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So let's start with the chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 11. Sure. Yeah. So Sally, you can help. Joyce, you're gonna help Vincent. Yeah, you can help Vincent to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. And Etta, could you read that? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, all the way to verse 16.
Paul's charge to Timothy. But you, man of God, flee from all this, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you, to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen.
And in here, tell us a few things that we have to pay attention. A lot of people, they come to the church thinking that, oh, I go to the church is to have eternal life. Oh, it's more than that. When you believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ not only give you eternal life, our Lord has a greater plan for you in your life, in your future. And that's why in chapter 6, verse 11, Paul saying that, but you, man of God, he writing this letter to Timothy, his spiritual son, as a pastor to the church of Ephesus. And Paul, as a senior pastor, writing it to the junior pastor, and say, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Now, I want to stop here. When Paul calling his spiritual son, man of God, is Timothy born again already? Is he a Christian? Is Timothy a Christian? Sally?
Mm-mm.
Right?
Yep.
Timothy is a Christian already. Otherwise, if he's not a Christian, Paul won't call him you, man of God. When the senior pastor calling his junior pastor say you, man of God, that means he's born again, he's Christian, he has eternal life, and yet Paul charging his spiritual son Timothy, saying to him, you, man of God, flee from all this. Flee from all this. What is he saying? Flee from what? Verse 10, you are man of God. Flee from the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So that's why Paul charging his younger pastor saying that you, men of God, flee from all this, flee from the love of money, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. In other words, after we are born again, we have to flee from the love of money, but we have to pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue endurance, and pursue gentleness. Now, let me ask Daniel this morning, what did I say? How come a born-again Christian, he has eternal life already? He's being a pastor to the church of Ephesus. And how come Paul saying to the younger pastor, ask him to pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith? He has faith in Jesus already. He has love for God already. He has endurance already. He has gentleness already. Why would Paul ask him to pursue all this? Do you remember based upon what I say this morning in the sermon? Do you know? Do you know the answer? After you are born again, why do we have to pursue all this? If I pursue all this, is this the command from Jesus? If any one of you who love Jesus, what happened?
Obey.
You obey his command. Could you turn to Gospel of John chapter 14 verse 15? What did he say? Gospel of John chapter 14. Titus, could you help Vincent? Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15. 14, 15. What did the Bible say? Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, if you love Jesus, you will obey what I command. I want to stop here. If we love Jesus, we obey what Jesus commands. What did he command us? He commands us to pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue endurance, pursue gentleness. What did he command us? In a negative way, flee from all these, flee from the love of money. But pursue, chase after, seek after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. All this kind of stuff that we have to chase after. By doing so, if we love Jesus, we will obey what Jesus commands. Verse 21. What did the Bible say? Whoever has my command and obey them. He is the one who loved me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and what? Will show myself to him. In other words, if Jesus Christ through his servant Paul to command us to flee from the love of money and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. If I obey this command from Jesus, what happened? Jesus said, that means you love me. If you love me, my Father will love you. My Father means my Heavenly Father, God, the Father in heaven. And not only my Father will love you, Jesus Christ will love us too. On top of that, Jesus Christ will show himself to us. That means we will be able to see the invisible God. I want to stop here to think about that. When we come to the church, I want you to make sure you understand one thing. A lot of people say you come to the church to have eternal life. No, more than that. When you come to the church, you learn, not only learn if you are a non-believer, the first step for you to do is born again, to be a Christian. That's the first step. You have to be born again Christian. In other words, it's not good enough to be in your mother tummy. Has to be come out. You have to come out, and then you have to grow in knowledge. 4 years later, you may have to go to kindergarten. 6 years later, we may have to go to grade 1, and then grade 2, grade 3, and all the way to grade 12. Hopefully, if you want to proceed, you can go to university. If you want to go to work, fine, you can go to work. But what I'm trying to say is, you can't say to your daddy, mommy, you're glad, you should be glad that I'm alive. Leave me alone, and I refuse to go to school. I do my own thing, and being uneducated, and don't even want to learn a trade, and that's no good. That will become a parasite to the society. At least I can earn for a living to support myself. I may not have to get married. Not everyone has to get married, right? If you don't want to get married, you don't need to get married. But at least when my parents pass away, I'll be able to support myself to pay for an apartment. If I buy a car, I can afford to pay for insurance. If I go to the gas station, I have enough money to pump in the gas instead of begging for money. Am I right? In the dinner time, I have to have enough money to put food on the table to support myself, right? I can't say to my mother or to my father, you should be glad that I'm born into your family, but I refuse to do anything. In the same way, if you're saying to me you are Christian, you have eternal life, and yet you refuse to learn from the Word of God, you refuse to study the Bible, you refuse to grow spiritually, just like you refuse to grow mentally and physically, you refuse to learn anything from any adult, that means there's something wrong with your head. I don't mean that you got to be the top one in the class, but at least you learn something. But if you refuse to learn anything, there's something wrong with myself. You understand what I'm trying to say? Nowadays, a lot of Christians, they go to the church, but at home, they don't study the Bible. And they say, oh, I go to the church, I just want to have eternal life. And yet, when I go home, I refuse to study the Word of God. That means I'm ignorant of the Word of God. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. But if you study the scripture, oh, you realize, as the man of God, we have to flee from the love of money. We have to pursue righteousness, godliness, gentleness, endurance, love, and faith, and all this kind of good stuff. That's good for me. Why? Because if I pursue all these, that means I obey God's command. That means I obey Jesus' command. If I obey His command, that means He guaranteed to me that He's going to love me. On top of that, He can appear Himself to me. He can show Himself to me. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus appeared to those disciples. And now, we don't see Him anymore. We're just like an orphan. But you want to see Jesus? You pursue all these, He's going to reveal Himself to you. So that means there's a benefit of pursuing all these. But nowadays, a lot of Christians, they don't know that. And you ask them, what's the reason why you go to the church? You say, oh, I just want to have eternal life. Same as you ask a child, why do you want to be born into that family? Oh, I just want to be, like, my last name is Lamb. I just want to be born into the Lamb family. My last name is Lamb, and your last name is Jiang. My last name is Chang. My last name is Chen, or whatever. You understand what I mean? No, this is just the beginning. But after you're born into that family, you got to learn from it to grow. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Same as if I go, let's say, I was born in Hong Kong, and I came to Canada in 1973. I don't learn that much English when I was in Hong Kong because mostly we speak Cantonese in Hong Kong. So English is not our mother tongue. English is our second language. And Cantonese is my mother tongue. But I come to Canada, I got to learn the language. Either you learn it at the very beginning or eventually you still have to learn because you can't get a good job if you don't learn the English. People can't give you a good job. People can't trust you. You got to learn that. You know, being a citizen of Canada is just the beginning. Being a citizen of Canada, you have to learn the language. You may not have to learn French, but at least you have to learn English. If you refuse to learn both, though you're in deep trouble. How can you get a job? You know what I mean? If you only learn Chinese, you can only work in a Chinese grocery or Chinese restaurant. Other than that, even though in a Chinese restaurant, we are serving the Chinese restaurant, also serving Caucasian, you still have to speak English too. You are in deep trouble.
I don't know how can you survive, really. So in the same way, you're born into God's family, you got to learn God's language, God's word. You're born into a Canadian family, you're a citizen in here, you learn Canadian language, which is English or French. Does it make sense?
I ask a question.
Go ahead.
Why I go to the church?
Why you go to the church?
I go to the church? That means I go to the church just for listen to the God's comments.
Command?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I say this?
So yeah, no. You can say that. You, what's the reason why, for a non-Christian? Okay, talk about. There are two kind of people to go to church. The first kind is non-believer. Why would they go to the church? Because they were invited by Christian friends. Just like my friend, I just knew my friend Vincent. I knew him today, and we invite him to come. To just, he was born in here. He didn't come here to learn English. He was born in here. He know English. Maybe the same time as we are. You know, like I come here what 30 some odd years. I think I learned English before you were born, right? So, but he was born in Canada. He was educated in Canada. He go to kindergarten from Canada. So he learned the language. As far as he's concerned, there's no difference whether a Caucasian or Windsor, because he was born here. Same as if I were born in a Mandarin speaking family, automatically I will be able to speak Mandarin because my parents are going to teach me Mandarin.
Yeah.
Okay? So there are two kind of people to come to the church. One is non-Christian. The reason non-Christian come to the church because they were invited by Christian friends, just like Vincent. Okay? And there's another kind of people who come to the church is because they are men of God. They are God's children. They are God's child. They are God's son. And they were born into that family. And they have eternal life already. But God decides not just for them to have eternal life. God wants them to know His command. And God wants His children to know what He likes, what He dislikes. He likes people to flee from love of money. He likes people to pursue righteousness, to pursue faith, to pursue gentleness, endurance, faith, and love, and all these kind of good attributes. Right? Good character. God wants us to pursue this kind of good stuff. When we pursue this kind of good stuff, then somehow God say, oh, you obey my command? You follow after me? You chase after me? You pursue after me? Okay, I reveal myself to you. I show myself to you. Although God is invisible, and yet God appear to you. He will show His power to you. Show His protection to you. Show His blessing to you. I like just give you one illustration. I take my daughter as an example. I wasn't born in a Christian family, but I've been a Christian for over 30 years now. My daughter was born into a Christian family. When my daughter was born, 6 months old, we drive all the way from Edmonton to New York. New York City. I studied seminary. At that time, she was only 6 months old. Okay? And that means Joyce, my daughter, was born into a Christian family. And ever since when she learned the language, either Cantonese or English, we studied the Bible with Joyce. Like when I go to another church in New York, I preach in the morning, early in the morning, and then in the noontime, and then in evening time, I preach in three churches when I was in New York. Every time I drive, my wife, I have two other daughters. So we four of us just together to other churches. So my daughter hear me teaching a Bible. She learned the Bible when she was young. So she learned God's command. She learned God's word. And at the age of 8 years old, she asked me, Daddy, I want to be baptized. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So I baptized her, and then she become God's child. And then she starts studying God's word. She know God's command. She know what God like, what God dislike.
So we need to study the Bible so we know God's, what was God's like or dislike?
That's
from,
right.
From the study of the Bible.
That's right. Okay. Just like if you're born into a lamb family, every family has his own rule, principle, or status quo or whatever, like has requirement, you know? Like every family has different requirement.
Yeah.
Before you eat, Christian family, you have to pray. Some people wash hand. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And say grace and stuff like that. So we just learn that kind of requirement. We're born into it. And now we become Christian. We can't say, I belong to Jesus. I belong to God. But when someone asks you, you belong to Jesus, you belong to God, like, that's good. Could you tell me something about Jesus? They say, I'm sorry, I don't know much about Jesus. Same as, you know, you're born in, your last name, Vincent, your last name is Zhao. And then someone asks you, could you tell me something about your Zhao's family and how many member of your household? I don't know whether I have a brother or sister. Yeah. Then you're in deep trouble. You know what I mean? At least I know I have an elder brother. I have an elder sister. I'm the youngest family. I'm the youngest one in my family. You know, I have one mother. I have one father. And where they come from. At least you know the kind of stuff, right? If someone asks you to introduce your family to others. Same as if you say that you're a Christian and someone say, could you tell me about Jesus Christ? You say, I'm sorry, I don't know much about Jesus Christ. And same as, you know, if someone asks Joy, tell me something about your daddy. You say, I don't know much about my daddy. I don't talk to him. I don't talk to him that often, you know. That won't be that good. You understand what I'm trying to say? So in the same way, so that's why as a Christian, two kind of people go into the church. The first kind is a non-Christian. The reason why non-Christian go to the church, because maybe our curiosity, maybe our invitation, we got a friend inviting, they say, okay, I give respect to you, I come. So, right? Another one is because they were born in the God's family, I want to learn more about God's word. So that's why I come to the church. No matter what's the reason why you come to the church, at least we want to know more about God. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Yeah. If I go to a restaurant, I want to eat food. I go to a movie, I go to a theater, I want to watch a movie. I go to the church, I want to hear what God has to say to me. I think that's fair. If I go to see a medical doctor, I want to check up. I drive my car to a garage for a mechanic, I want to make sure my car is tuned up. I got to have a reason to go to wherever I want to go. It's not because, I just happen to drive by. I have a purpose. You know, my reason to go to a church, I want to know about God. I want to learn more about His Word. I want what He wants me to flee from. I want to know what He wants me to chase after. So that when I follow His command, obey Him, what happened, Daniel? If I obey Him, what did He promise me? Gospel of John chapter 14 verse 21. Gospel of John chapter 14 verse 25. What did He promise me? He promised to show Himself to me. He promised that He's going to love me. Not only He loved me, Jesus loved me, my Heavenly Father will love me too, because I love Him. On top of that, they will come to me. Could you read that? 14:23, 14:21. Etta, could you read that?
Mm-hmm.
I want Joyce to read the. I want Vincent to read the 14:22. Joyce read 14:23. Etta, you read 14:21. Gospel of John. Do you find Gospel of John chapter 14? Do you know where's verse 21? Do you see that, Vincent?
Yeah,
okay, you read 20 first. I mean, you read 21 first, Etta.
Is it the
start
of whoever?
Start with whoever. She read
21.
21. You read 22, George read 23.
Okay.
21, Etta.
Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him.
Then Judas said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?
Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Okay, so I want you to do me a favor. And if that's your Bible, you write that down. Right beside 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. He say, but you men of God, flee from all this. That's Jesus' command. Flee from all
that's a negative teaching. And then pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Right beside all these, what do you write down? You write down John 14, 21 to 23. So the reason why, if I flee from all this and pursue all this, what is the end result? Based upon Gospel of John 14:21, God promised to me that my Heavenly Father will love me, Jesus will love me, and Jesus will show himself to me. Verse 23, my Father will love you, and Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father will come to me and make our home with him. That means he will live in us. This is a wonderful blessing, right? So it is, if you follow God's command, God going to reward you. You listen to me, you obey me, I'm going to reward you. God is invincible. You can't see him. But God say, I appear myself to you. Okay? Now, go back. Chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. This command is not to non-Christian. This command, Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, this command is to Christian, is command to men of God. Jesus command men of God. Fight the good fight of the faith. What does it mean by fight the good fight of the faith? Fight the good fight of the faith is verse 11. Flee from all these, flee from the love of money, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. That is what Jesus means, fight the good fight of the faith. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's just like fighting a battle. Can you imagine, okay? I'll give you one illustration. And just like before we come, we talk about with the fun. You know, he said that, you know, he has a lot of struggle. After he come to our church, you know, he come to our church for 3 years already, but he didn't study the Bible. And he come up just three, four months ago, he start coming to this church, and his life start changing. From not studying the scripture, now studying the scripture. From not memorizing God's word, now he start memorizing God's word. And he said to me that today, some kind of bad habit that he used to have, bad mouth, vulgar word, you know, filthy word come out from his mouth, because he worked as a welder, a lot of worker, co-worker like that, swear word, and getting so used to do it. And he found out that he's speaking less and less now because he come to this church. But he said to me, he has a struggle. Some of that word sometimes will come out of his mouth. Because he has been speaking swear word for 20 some odd years. And all of a sudden, you stop saying that. Is it like fighting a battle? That is what the Bible says, fight the good fight of the faith. What do I believe? I believe that if I become a Christian, all this filthy word, I got to stop that. Where does it say? I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4. You know what, Vincent? Don't worry. You know, when I first come to the church, I don't even know which one is New Testament, which one Old Testament. I have the same kind of problem. I understand how you feel. I wasn't born in a Christian family either. You know what I mean? But after a while, I find my way out. You know, I didn't get lost in the forest. You know what I mean? After a long way, yeah. Well, we all been there. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Heather, could you read that?
Just 29.
Verse 29 and all the way to the end. 32.
29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Okay, Vincent, could you read that 4:29 all the way to 32?
Where is it?
Yeah, Ephesians 4:29. You see that? Yeah.
29.
Yeah, slowly. Read it slowly, yeah. 4:29. Do not let 4:29.
29, right?
All the way to 32. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get that?
No.
Okay. Chapter 4, verse 29.
4:29. Okay. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
You know what? What does it mean by fight? What does it mean by Timothy saying that? What does it mean by Paul saying to Timothy, fight the good fight of your faith? What do we believe? We believe what God say. God say, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Filthy word. Don't even ever let it come out of your mouth. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, and that it may benefit those who listen. Can you imagine vulgar word come over Pastor John? Then say, wow, what is that, man? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It won't benefit those who hear. You say, wow, what is that? Am I in the church or am I in a marketplace? You know what I mean? You understand what I'm trying to say? So, before, we used to using swear word and a word that is not appropriate for us. It's not gentle, it's not kind, it's not compassionate, it's no good. It's not good to those who hear that. It's not beneficial to the other people. But now, we become God's son, we become God's child, we have to change our wording. Learn. I give you one illustration. Can you imagine, you know, you go to a court and you don't hire a lawyer to defend yourself, I tell you one thing. You will be in deep trouble. Because the judge will charge you with a contempt of court. Because you can't use your own word to talk to the judge. You have to call him your honor. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, you guy. What do you mean, you guy? You can't call me you guy. I'm your judge, your honor. You understand what I'm trying to say? He will call you, you are contempt of court. He will charge you. He will fine you. You understand? So, we have to learn. Wherever we go, we have to learn things. How should we present ourselves? As God's child, as God's children, as son of God, we learn. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, and that it may benefit those who listen. Continue 30.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
In other words, if you let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, what happened? You grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You grieve him. Because all Christian, they have what? They have Holy Spirit inside your body. When you have unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, who do you grieve? You grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Same as, let's say, you have a very gentle daddy and mommy, and your daddy and mommy teach you some manner, and then all of a sudden in front of your daddy mommy's friend, you have unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Wow, people look at your daddy, mommy. Didn't you teach your daddy, mommy? Who do you grieve? You may not grieve yourself. You grieve your daddy and mommy. You understand what I'm trying to say? So we have the Holy Spirit within our heart. When we become a Christian, when we become God's child, when we don't follow God, when we don't obey God, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Now, what's the use of that Holy Spirit? When you, whether you can enter heaven, whether you can enter the kingdom of God, do you know what? If you go to New York City, you go to some high rise, you need to have some badge, computer chips, in order to go through the security. Without the computer chips, you can't go through the security. You can't enter into a high rise building because they are afraid terrorists to get into the building. In some office building, government office building, you have to have the computer chips. You understand? In order for you to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to have the Holy Spirit within your heart. God can see through your heart, just like computer scan through the computer chip, yeah, you can get in. If you do not have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's not because look at me, I'm Canadian. You know, you go through custom, you say, wow, I see Chinese, not Canadian too. I see some Chinese Canadian. Not every Chinese are Canadian. I see some white people are Canadian. Some white people are Australian. They don't have a Canadian passport. It's not because you are white that you can go through the custom. You understand what I'm trying to say? How can you go through Canadian custom? You have to have Canadian passport. In order to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to have what? Holy Spirit of God. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God is what? Because we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God for the day of redemption. How can I enter the kingdom of God? You have to have the Holy Spirit of God within your heart. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Oh, you tell the angel, angel, you got to let me enter in the kingdom of God. Angel say, why? Because I attend Pastor John Church. I attend Bible study. Come on, it's not good enough. Because attending Pastor John Bible study, some are Christian, some are non-Christian. You understand what I mean? You're entering into the Bible class, there's no qualification, there's no prerequisites, there's no any requirement. As long as you're willing, you can enter. But enter the kingdom of God is different. The reason why I enter into the Bible study, so that I want to learn the requirement, I meet all the requirements so that I'll be able to enter the kingdom of God. You just tell the angel, on June 25th, 2011, at around 6 o'clock evening, I study with Pastor John in 1 Timothy and Ephesians. The angel of God can say to you, I'm sorry, sir. Sorry, ma'am. Not good enough to enter. And he's going to say, let me see your heart. I don't see the Holy Spirit of God inside your heart. I see the evil spirit inside your heart. You know what I mean? Oh, man. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm trying to say?
No.
You know? He said, trust me. No. Because the Bible clearly stated that. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All God's children were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We were sealed. We put a stamp in our heart. That's a proof that the Holy Spirit lived in my heart for the day of redemption. And at that time, I can enter into the heaven gate, go into the kingdom of God. I go to heaven. Now I want to stop here to ask you a question. Do you want to have the seal of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God? In other words, do you want to have a Canadian passport? If you want to have a Canadian passport, you have to meet the requirement. Stay in Canada as an immigrant for at least 3 years. And after that, you can apply for the citizenship. And when you apply for citizenship, they give you a booklet to study. How many provinces in Canada, who is the governor, who is the mayor, who is the prime minister, and where is the capital of the Canada and stuff like that. You can't say Edmonton. Edmonton is the capital of Alberta. Capital of Canada is Ottawa. You know, this kind of question, you got to be able to answer basic knowledge in order to be admitted as a Canadian citizens, as a Canadian citizen. And then once you become a Canadian citizen, then you can apply for the Canadian passport. With the Canadian passport, every time you enter into the Canada, no problem, friend, welcome home. But you lost the Canadian passport, say, trust me, look at me, I'm Canadian, you know. Oh, then good luck, you know. You understand what I'm trying to say? You need a lot more proof than that. In the same way, when we go and in the kingdom of God, you need to have what? You need to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And how can I be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God? As long as you open your heart and ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Then you become God's child. When you become God's child, you go back to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father will say to you, welcome home, you are my child. Same as when Winston, after the Bible study, we have dinner together, after dinner, you go home, your mommy see you, say, my dear son, welcome home. But then, if I pretended to be Winston, I say, I'm Winston, please let me in. He say, who are you? I don't know you. You can't enter into my house because you don't belong to that house. You understand? You can't say, trust me. No, not good enough. Right? So do you want to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God?
Of course, yes.
You want to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God?
Yes.
Do you know how can you be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God? You have to open your heart, ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, the first step. The next step is you have to be baptized.
Okay.
Two step. The Bible say, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Unless he's born again. Mm-hmm. Chapter 3, verse 4. Nicodemus say, how can I be born again? I'm old already. How can I be born again through my mother womb the second time?
Three, five.
And then chapter 2, and chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus say, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Winston, could you read that? 3:3 to 3:5. 3:3, chapter 3, verse 3 to chapter 3, verse 5.
In reply, Jesus declared, I'll tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus.
Yeah.
Nicodemus asked, surely you cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the spirit.
So in other words, how can you enter the kingdom of God? Two things. You have to be baptized. And then ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart. You have to do two things. Then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Then you get the passport. Once you get the passport, you got to what? Learn God's command. What did he want you to do? So that you're going to fight the good fight. What is fighting the good fight? Flee from the love of money. Pursue righteousness, faithfulness, gentleness, endurance, love, godliness, love, faith, and all this kind of good stuff. Okay? Now, all the way. And then, just like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. You know, a fun saying to me, oh, you know, I still have some bad thinking in my mind. Of course. That's why God say, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. And then, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's why once we become a Christian, we just say a prayer and then baptize,
Baptized means you die with Jesus, bury with Jesus, and rise with Jesus. When you come out, you spiritually become a newborn baby. A newborn baby, a lot of stuff you don't know. And your old man, you know, 30-some-odd years old, all the filthy mouth, all this kind of bad word, you still have that. So that's why, get rid of all this. That's why fight a battle. You understand what I'm saying? The longer it takes you to believe in Jesus, the longer for you to clean up your mess. You try to mess up in the muddy water, your daddy, mommy going to clean up a lot of Thai detergent to clean up your mess. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, is it okay once you become a Christian, all you have to do is learn what God wants you to do, what God wants you to stop doing it. We learn that. In the process of learning it, just like fighting a battle. And that's why Paul saying that to Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. You understand? Getting rid of all this kind of bad stuff is like fighting a good faith. When someone encourages you to be a Christian, then you, all of a sudden you think, oh, are you telling me I can't play mahjong? Right? If I used to play mahjong, and all of a sudden you want me to Christian, you don't want me to play mahjong, I can't go to casino, I can't go for gambling, and wholesome talk cannot come out of my mouth, I'm getting so used to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Get rid of all this. When you're getting rid of all this, in the process of doing so, just like fighting a good fight of your faith. Because I know that God do not want me to do that. In order for me to please Him, I want to follow Him. And then He said to me, He said, I used to be so easy to use swear word, and all of a sudden now I become a Christian. You know, I study God's word, and I memorize God's word, and all this kind of stuff. Gradually, I don't feel like saying that. That's good. That's change. Do you really want to be baptized? Do you want to be sealed with the Holy Spirit? Do you?
How to say? I want.
You want?
But not now.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Okay. Chapter 6. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. And then Paul saying to Timothy, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you make your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I want you to circle the word, take hold. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you make your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul reminded Timothy, now that you have eternal life, now that you have eternal life, take hold of it. Make sure you don't lose it. If eternal life, if you save and once save and save for all, you don't have to take hold of it. You won't lose it. Paul won't say, take hold of it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Take a look at the little cup of a lion. Although he was born in a lion family, if that little cup don't look after by his mother or father, hyena come, gonna take the cup and kill the cup and eat the cup. Once you're born into God's family, now that you have eternal life, you got to take hold of it. Keep it. Don't let it go. Don't lose it. You have to take hold of it and fight the good fight. That's why the Bible says, fight the good fight of the faith. At the same time, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you make your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. When I first come to know Christ, I kneel down before God. I confess my sins. I ask God to forgive all my sins and cleanse all my unrighteousness. And then I ask the Holy Spirit to enter into my heart. I ask Jesus Christ to enter into my heart. I asked the Holy Father enter into my heart, and ever since then, I become God's child, and then I baptize. When I become a newborn baby, I'm still very weak, just like a lion cub. Hyena can come and swallow that baby cub, right? Take hold of that. Don't lose it. Isn't that what the Bible says? If someone say to you, oh, once you are saved for all. No question about that. Jesus Christ will watch over you. But you yourself have to take hold of it. In two cases, my Lord Jesus Christ will protect you. My Heavenly Father, God, the Heavenly Father will protect you. No one can snatch you out of his hand. I know that I'm in good hands. But at the same time, the Bible says, you yourself have to take hold of it. God will protect you, but you have to protect your own. Can you imagine? Joy is born into my family, and he refused to listen to a daddy, especially when we cross across the road. He said, daddy, don't hold my hand. I want to run through it. Sooner or later, she can be locked down by a car. Am I right? No question about that. Daddy, mommy protect you. But you have to protect yourself. I want you to turn to John chapter 10, verse 28, 29. I want Vincent to read it. 10, 28 to 29. Chapter 10, 28 to 29.
Father, you have given them to me, greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand.
I know that in here, chapter 10, verse 20 to 28, who will protect me? Who will take hold of my hand? Who will take over my eternal life? Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father. Right? This is God's word. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 28 to 29 is God's word. But at the same time, 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. You have to do it. Take all of the eternal life. You have to do it. That means you have to be cooperate with God. God the Father will help you, protect you. God the Son, Jesus Christ, will protect you. No one can snatch you out of his hand, out of Jesus' hand, out of God's hand. But you have to take off the eternal life too. You have to do your part. You understand what I'm trying to say? Same as your daddy, mommy send you to a high school. They say, oh, I sent my son to the high school. But if my son refuses to study, he may not graduate. I send you to a high school, you still have to study your own. Yeah, I can help you to find a tutor to help you. But you still have to do your own assignment. Does it make sense? It makes sense. So I want you to write down right beside chapter 6, verse 12. You write down. Especially take hold of the eternal life. Write down Gospel of John 10, 28 to 29. And then Gospel of 10, 28, 29, I want you to write it down. 1 Timothy. Jesus Christ give you eternal life, Etta. God give you eternal life, but you yourself has to take hold of it. Can you imagine your mother give you $100 and then you're going to flip around in the Chinatown? 5 minutes later, you're gone. You know what I mean? You don't flip around in the Chinatown, you know what I mean? And they say, hey, get $100 here, you know? Anyone want to grab it? You know what I mean? You tempt the people to grab it, okay? Daniel, do you understand what I'm trying to say? God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, give you eternal life. when you confess your sins and acknowledge that you are a sinner and ask God to forgive all your sins, at the same time ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, at that very moment, God give you the free gifts of eternal life. When you get it, you got to what? Take hold of it. Right? Don't lose it. Right? God will help you, but you have to help yourself too. You have to cooperate with God. When your daddy and mommy send you to a junior high, you got to study. It's not because, oh, now I enter junior high, automatically I will graduate. No. You may flunk. You may not learn anything. You have to study. Do your assignment. You understand, Daniel? In the future, when you become a pastor, you don't want people to call you, you're a lazy pastor. Right? Okay. Go for it. Verse 12, I read that one more time. Once you take hold of the eternal life, you got to fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life is the first step. Fight the good fight of the faith is the next step. You understand? Once you become God's child, you got to fight with Jesus against the enemy, Satan. Okay? Verse 13. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and in the sight of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, make the good confession, I charge you. What did Paul charge Timothy? I charge you to keep this command without spot or blameless until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul command Timothy to do? Charge Timothy to do. Paul said, I charge you. Why would he charge Timothy in the sight of God, in the sight of Christ Jesus? That means if I charge you in the sight of God, in the sight of Jesus Christ, that means God charge you. That means Jesus Christ charge you. You understand what I'm trying to say? When your teacher saying to you, I charge you to do this in the sight of the principal, in the sight of the vice principal, that means the principal and the vice principal charge you to do that. You know what I mean? Okay? Paul charged Timothy to keep this command. What is this command? Flee from all this. Flee from the love of money and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Keep this command without spot or blameless. That means pursue perfection. You know how can we become perfection? Like playing piano, you got to keep practicing. You practice at one, out of tune. It's no good. Try it again. Not good enough, try again. You try 1,000 times, 2,000 times. Let me tell you, you'll be pretty good. You know why Pastor John can memorize Bible verses? I read it so many times. Same as when people ask you, what's your email address? People ask you so many times, of course you know your email address. Hey, let me think about that. What's my email address? Unless you have 1,000 email addresses. You know what I mean? Of course you know your email address. You not only know your email address, you know your password too. Right? Do you have an email address? You have? Okay.
You remember it?
Now, Paul saying that, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means God wants us to be blameless, spotless when we see Him. He wants us to be like Jesus Christ. It takes a lifelong process to change us. But we all have to start learning it. The sooner you learn it, the better you are. We all have to learn it. Why? Because in the book of Ephesians, you know what Paul saying? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise
be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. God chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. You understand? So that's why Paul say that in the sight of God, in the sight of Jesus Christ, I charge you to be spotless, blameless. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because that is his intention. That's the same reason why he chose us. He chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. You understand what I'm trying to say? So that's why we have to practice. Now I want to stop here. What have we learned today? This morning we learned it. When you have God's command, Gospel of John chapter 14, when you have God's command and you obey God's command, that means you love God. God will love you. Jesus Christ will love you. On top of that, Jesus Christ will appear himself to you. On top of that, he will come to you. He will live inside you. When he lives inside you, he wants you to rely upon his strength, his power, his holiness to live a life like Jesus. When people say, look at Etta, look at Sally. Oh, you're not Etta. You are Jesus. You are gentle like Jesus. That will be great. You know what I mean?
You need glasses.
You need glasses? What glasses? Sunglasses? Oh, man. What kind of glasses are you talking about? Ray-Ban?
No, it's like, 他望错.
望错了. take a U-turn. I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway.
看错了.
哦, okay, let's go back. So Paul saying to Timothy, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, which God will bring about in his own time. In other words, God will send Jesus Christ to come back to redeem us, to give us a new physical body. Verse 15. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. God is invisible. No one can see him. No one has seen him, or no one can see him, because God lives in an unapproachable light. Only God alone himself is immortal. We all die. God the Father never died. Jesus Christ died for our sins. His Son died for our sins. Okay? God the blessed and only ruler. We only have one king. He's the king of all kings. We have only one Lord. He is the Lord of all lords. And he alone is immortal. And who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen and can see. And then to him be honor and might forever. Amen. And next week, I'm going to talk about verse 17 to the end. But I want to stop here first. Now, I want to recap what have we learned today. As I said before, at the very onset, at the very beginning, the reason why I come to the church, there's two kind of person coming to the church. The first is non-Christian, out of curiosity, or because by the invitation. But when we come to the church, because they are non-Christian, there's opportunity for them to become Christian. They are not God's son now, but they can be God's son. Because eternal life is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. God give you the free gifts, free of charge. God only give to those
who want it. God will not give a handout, say, oh, everyone take one. No, you want it, he give it to you. When he give it to you, you take hold of it. You don't lose it because it's precious. You don't say, I'll give it to you, you throw it in the ground, you don't want it. No, he won't give it to you like that. So, eternal life is a free gift. Anyone can get it. I got it already. My daughter got it already. Titus, my friend, got it already. Edda got it. Daniel got it. Shadi got it. Now I want to ask you, Amy. Have you got it?
No.
No? And your friend?
Not yet.
Not yet? Vincent, you haven't got it? Okay, now. I want to say one more thing. As I said, salvation is for all who believe. If you do not believe, if you do not want it, he won't give it to you because it's precious. Same as he won't give a citizenship to you if you are not willing to apply for it, to fill in the form. You don't get it because, oh, I stay here for 3 years, I know all the answer, but you refuse to apply for it. Man, I tell you, you don't get it. You have to apply for it. Submit the form. I don't know, do you have to pay? I don't remember whether I have to pay a fee or whatever. Do you have to pay?
No, we have to apply.
You have to apply, but you have to pay for a fee, $15 or whatever, application fee, you know, for citizenship. And then they arrange you to have the oral exam. When you pass the oral exam, then you go through before the judge and sworn to be allegiance to the law of this land. And then you become a Canadian citizen.
But they have a condition. No, record, bad record.
Oh yeah, yeah. Same as going to heaven. You have to have a no bad record. So that's why, in order for us to be God's child, we have to confess our sins. When we confess our sins, he gonna wipe out all the bad record. The person who has bad record cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have to confess your sins, and he cleanses it all. He erases it. Okay, he erases it. He destroys it. Or the bad record, then you can go. You understand what I'm trying to say? The point is, when Jesus Christ come back, the Bible say God will bring Jesus Christ back in the end time. But when God bring his son back to judge us, at that time you say to Jesus, I'm sorry, now I want to believe in you. Jesus say, sorry, it's too late. The door is closed. You have to believe now. Either now or until before he come back. But you don't know when he come back. He can come back anytime. You understand what I'm trying to say? You want to take a risk? You still want to wait? I'm not that stupid. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I say to myself, I give you a story, a true story. I have a boyfriend that in the Christmas time, I studied in Ottawa at that time, in 1976, something like that. I have a boyfriend, he stayed in Ottawa during the Christmas time. I stay in Ottawa, he has a girlfriend, I don't have a girlfriend. And he said, John, come to my house, my girlfriend do the cooking. Wow, I say, well, I'm glad to attend, thank you for the invitation. I need that. I'm a foreign student at that time. My family, I'm alone in Ottawa.
Single.
Nobody care about me. Nobody invite me. Someone got to invite me. Of course I go. Free lunch, free dinner. What do you expect, you know? He didn't say, you come here, pay me $5, I give you a dinner. No, he didn't say that. Come for free dinner. I say, I come. Don't worry, I'll be on time. So I attend. Oh, I eat there. Barbecue pork, so delicious. I say, wow, this is delicious. I say, where do you buy that? You know, 30-some, 40-some odd years ago, in Ottawa is worse than in Edmonton. There's not much of a Chinese grocery store. His girlfriend said, no, I didn't buy it. I cooked it. I said, wow, that's delicious. And she has pity on me. She see that, wow, this fellow love my cooking.
Poor guy.
Poor guy. So I was invited to the dinner on the Christmas Eve. And the next day, on the 25th, she knocked on my door. And I don't know who he is or she is. I don't even bother. You know when you're a student, you know. And I don't even open the door. She keep ringing the bell. I don't open the door either. Because need to come down to open the door, I don't even bother. And then half an hour later, I may as well check out to see anyone leave a note. I open the door. Boom! A bag, something, you know, fall on the floor. As I said before, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't born in a Christian family. My mind was twisted. I think about bad things. And I'm a bad boy all the time. I remember how I trick people, ring the doorbell, and then go to the park to pick up dog shit and then put in the bag. And then I see the old lady coming at night, light it and then burn it, and then the old lady come out, step on that. I say, are you telling me someone giving me that dog stuff there in front of my house, you know? And then I don't, at that time it's Christmas time, you know, Canada Christmas time is freezing. I pick up that stuff, I don't even smell it because I don't want to smell that bad stuff. I just kick it out and across the street. And then on the 26th, my boyfriend's girlfriend gave me a call. Do you enjoy the barbecue that I gave it to you, barbecue pork? I said, what do you mean by that? I said, I put it in front of your door. I said, you give me 5 minutes, hold on. I rushed to it and found it to the 2 pounds of barbecue pork. I can't find it. I kicked it out of my sight. And ever since then, I say to myself, if someone say to me, give me good stuff like eternal life, I'm not going to kick it out. I'm going to open it and smell it and taste it before I kick it out. And so that's why 30 some odd years ago, someone come to my house and tell me about Jesus Christ. I don't kick it out. I said, let me taste it first. And I say to him, what if I taste it, I don't like it? Can I say, I don't want to be a Jesus son? He said, yes, you can. I taste it. 10 years later, God say, you like the taste? I say, I like the taste. Then I don't want you to be an engineer. I was an engineer at that time. I say, I want you to be a pastor. I say, okay. I don't throw it out. I make a big mistake already. I don't even open up to see what is there. He said, I said, how can you throw it out? I wrap it with a tin foil and everything. You kick it out. He said, you don't even open it. I said, I don't even open it. He said, what do you think inside? I thought it's dog shit. How can I open up dog shit? You understand what I'm trying to say? Because my mind was twisted. I thought there's bad stuff here. I don't even bother open it up. I learned a big lesson, and ever since then, I don't kick it out. I check him out first. 2 pounds of barbecue that I like. I kick it out myself. And I'm single. I can't buy in within auto vision. I can't even buy this kind of good stuff. She was so upset, she hung up, she thought, you know, that guy, poor guy, this guy, stupid guy. How can he kick out 2 pounds of barbecue? It is amazing. I finished telling you a story. It is a true story. Eternal life is a free gift. When Jesus Christ gave it to you, you take hold of it. You take hold of it, and then you join the battlefield. Fight against Satan. and bring your family member to come to know Jesus. Once I become a Christian, the first thing I do, I bring my mother to come to know Christ at the age of 65. And then I bring my father. And then I bring my brother, Stephen, to come to know Christ. One by one, I bring them to come to know Christ. When I give birth to my daughter, I share the gospel to my daughter, and I bring her to Christ. I know what I believe. I memorize God's word. So I now challenge three of you. Don't waste the time. Open it up, check it out. But I encourage you to keep coming to a Bible study with us. Is that fair? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us time to study your word. Without studying your word, we don't know what you command us to do. Without studying your word, we don't know that you charge in those days, Timothy, to keep your command without spot and blameless until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way, because you are impartial God, you do not sow favoritism. In those days, you charge Timothy. In today's day, you charge each and every one of us to keep your command without spot or blameless. Without spot or blame until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, to take hold of the eternal life to which we will call when we make our good confession in the presence of many witnesses. On top of that, help us to fight the good fight. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. At the same time, flee from all these because we are men of God. Thank you for your blessed word. And I know that you will bring Jesus to come back on earth to redeem us. We're looking forward to that day. In the meantime, you help us to be wise, to make good use of the opportunity to believe in you. And I give you thanks for inviting friends to come here to study your word. And I pray that one of these days, they will receive the same kind of blessing that we received long time ago. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yep. So now